From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with the latest. Today, the 4,000-passenger Norwegian Encore became the last big cruise ship to dock in Juneau for the year. Until midsummer, it was unclear if there were going to be any big ships visiting Southeast Alaska. The Canadian border was still closed in July, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention still had restrictions on cruise ships and their passengers. But cruising resumed in late July, and downtown Juneau sprang back to life after a virtually non-existent 2020 season. Most cruise ship passengers were required to be vaccinated prior to the start of their trips. More than 70 large ships and 20 small ships docked in Juneau during the shortened season, bringing over 123,000 people to town. That's less than 10% of the number of passengers that came during 2019, the last season before the pandemic. And getting sworn into office is a little trickier during a meeting that's happening in person and virtually.
Yes, she said, okay, everyone raise your right hands.
Yeah, I just asked her to unmute.
Can you unmute, Amber?
Okay, I'm unmuted.
But Juneau Superior Court Judge Amy Mead made it work with the newly elected members of the Juneau Board of Education on Tuesday night.
Okay, I'll point to you as you say your name. So I...
Will Holden.
Amber Frommers.
Do solemnly swear or affirm...
Do solemnly swear or affirm...
That I will support the Constitution of the United States...
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Mead swore in new members Will Muldoon and Amber Frommers and Elizabeth Sidden, who was reelected to her second term and will continue to be the board president. Juneau officials had just announced the certification of the election results. Two reelected incumbents and one new member of the Juneau Assembly will be sworn in on Monday. The state's education department calls the lack of teachers in Alaska an emergency issue and says the pandemic is only making things worse. It's willing to pay up to $300,000 to figure out how to attract and keep more teachers in the state. Teachers and the union support the move, but as Claire Strimple reports for KTOO, they say the number one reason they're leaving is pretty obvious.
James Harris is Alaska's 2017 Teacher of the Year, and he doesn't live or teach here anymore.
I'm teaching in just outside of Seattle, Washington, and I've been down here for a few years.
He says there's more than one reason he moved.
The number one reason was the retirement. Unfortunately, the retirement system in Alaska, it was set up in a way that there was just absolutely no way for me to retire with any kind of dignity.
Harris began teaching in Alaska in 2006, the first year after the state's legislature cut teacher pensions, known as defined benefits. Experts say Alaska is the only state that doesn't offer teachers a pension or Social Security benefits. Teacher turnover has hovered above 20% for the last decade. That puts Harris among the 1 in 5 teachers that leaves each year. He said he hoped state leaders would provide funding for education and educators, but eventually decided he couldn't wait any longer and moved south with his family.
The loss of the defined benefits plan is the single biggest reason I see that we lose teachers.
Corrine Marks has been teaching in Alaska for 25 years. She teaches high school English in Juneau and trains teachers-to-be at the University of Alaska Southeast. She has about 30 people in the program right now. Teachers from Alaska are more likely to stay here, but she still sees turnover.
I've had more teachers come and go just here in Juneau, which is an easy place to stay comparatively, right? Because they have nothing holding them here.
Marks plans to retire here so she can collect her pension, those defined benefits teachers don't get anymore. It's guaranteed income after she retires. New teachers do get retirement benefits in Alaska. They just aren't pensions. They usually come in the form of contributions to a retirement account. But after teaching for 5 years, Alaska teachers can take their retirement accounts with them if they leave. Union leaders say that leads to teacher tourism, where out-of-state teachers have a 5-year Alaska adventure and then take their experience home for the rest of their career, after Alaska has invested in training them.
I've been working on the pensions issue since the state legislature first ruined it in 2005.
State Senator Jesse Keel says dropping the pension was a mistake that's losing the state money and talent. One study estimates Alaska spends $20 million on teacher turnover each year. He's supportive of the state's effort and says legislature bears some of the blame for turnover. It's up to them to fund education, but they haven't increased funding for more than 5 years. That puts stress on the whole system. Keel introduced a bill this year that brings back the opportunity for teachers to earn a pension. Not a big one, he said, but it's an incentive to keep families in Alaska.
By doing away with the pension, we have created a system where the rational economic choice for a teacher with 5 years' experience is to leave. Is that really the system we want?
So far, it's the system Alaska's been choosing. But this year, the Education Department is investing in someone to lead the state towards a solution to the broader problem of attracting and keeping teachers.
This is not a problem that we can solve by ourselves.
Commissioner Michael Johnson heads the Department of Education and Early Development.
The department can't solve it. Not one entity can solve it. Not one district, not the legislature, not the governor. All of us have to work together.
He agrees pensions and pay are among the biggest issues, but says there's more than one challenge to attracting and retaining teachers in Alaska. Research bears this out. A working group identified 6 aspects the state should address, things like working conditions and developing leadership.
I think bottom line for me is that we take this report, we take this work from the task force, and then we do something.
Applications for the job closed last week. The state refused to say how many applicants submitted a proposal. The state plans to issue a contract by November 1st. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.
The Juneau Board of Education adopted a land acknowledgement during its meeting on Tuesday night. It will be used during all future meetings of that board. The acknowledgement is intended to express appreciation and celebrate the context of the Indigenous presence and history in the community. The board had tried to settle on the language during its September 14th meeting, but a member of the public, IU Kusatuk, raised some concerns during that meeting. She referenced a portion of the initial language that said, quote, "We are grateful to have been welcomed to be in this place." Kusatuk said it struck her because it seemed to center on a settler's perspective instead of an Indigenous perspective.
Though unintentional, I feel like it could potentially contribute to erasure of the history of how the education system came to be in the community. It was not necessarily a welcoming, but an imposition.
So the language was sent back to the policy committee in September, and a final reading was presented Tuesday. That portion was swapped out to say, quote, "We are grateful to be a part of this community." At the end of this week's meeting, newly sworn in board member Amber Frummers said she appreciated the land acknowledgement.
I think that is timely, better late than never. And that means a lot that we were able to move that.
The board's action comes several months after the Juneau Assembly formalized its own land acknowledgement. Juneau officials say local COVID-19 numbers are still bad. The Delta variant-fueled wave had shown signs of falling a week ago, but during the COVID community update on Tuesday, City Manager Rory Watt said it now appears to be plateauing at an uncomfortable level.
Our numbers are high. You look statewide, they're lower than the rest of the state, but they're not good numbers. They're not numbers that we would have been satisfied with at any point earlier in the pandemic. They are quite high for our historical context.
There's good news on the horizon. Officials said they expect federal authorities to expand vaccine eligibility to children ages 5 to 11 in early November. There are about 2,800 children in Juneau in that group. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr said to expect supply constraints when vaccine first becomes available for younger children.
We don't expect to receive as much as we would request. Right now, at least, it looks like it'll be a little bit similar to how adult vaccines originally rolled out.
Barr said federal regulators may limit the expansion to higher risk children first. He said to expect the Food and Drug Administration and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to share more on that next week. April Resendiz is a nurse with the state's local public health office. She said when the final approval comes, the rollout will be fast.
And it's going to look a little different for kids because we know kids are different. They don't always want to walk through Centennial Hall, sit in a crowded space, and just sit there for their shot. So a little bit more private space, comfortable settings.
That means using schools, pediatricians' offices, and nurses who are used to vaccinating kids. Emergency officials' COVID risk assessment of Juneau remains at level 3, high, due to high case rates and other risk factors. The indoor mask requirements, social distancing, and capacity limits have been in place since the end of July. And a national voting reform bill stalled in the U.S. Senate today. Alaska senators, like all Republicans, voted against proceedings on the Freedom to Vote bill. It sets minimum standards for early voting and voting by mail, and it creates new financial disclosure requirements for groups that spend money to influence elections. To boost turnout, it would also make Election Day a federal holiday. Democrats say the bill is necessary to counter efforts in Republican jurisdictions that they say will make it harder to vote, particularly for young people, the poor, and others who have to move often. Senator Lisa Murkowski has for years been the only Republican co-sponsor of the Voting Rights Advancement Act. It would restore parts of a civil rights era voting law that were nullified by Supreme Court decisions. But Murkowski says the Freedom to Vote bill is partisan and an attempt to micromanaging state elections. Democratic leaders in the Senate say they aren't done trying to pass a bill to protect access to the polls. That is the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.